Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you now join us with devotion? Tonight we're going to hear from June Rochelle, His Eye is on the Sparrow. We're going to have a scripture reading and prayer from Dr. James Nooks. All right.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. His Eye Is on the Sparrow by June Rochelle. If you go with me now to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, starting with the 14th through the 21st verse, I'm going to read for you through the New Living Translation. It says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships. Put your phones on mute, please. To flee those ships that are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I call forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and owls, too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world.
Amen. Let us pray. Amen. God, we come before you this evening. We're so grateful for you being with us and making a way for us even in the desert, making a way when we could not even see our way. And God, we're so grateful for your presence tonight. And we honor you, we praise you, we worship you in our study of your word. Help us, God, to see you in people and in situations. Help us to reflect your love to people. Help us to grow by learning more about you through your word and through interactions with people and your people especially. God, we need you. Our strength runs out, but yours does not. Help us as we take each step each day. Help us to reflect the kind of love that people need to see and experience. Help us to be ambassadors for you. Help us to realize that we have been forgiven, and help us to forgive others. Bless the teacher tonight, Dr. Susie, that she comes to us to share you with us. Be receptive, open our minds and our hearts to what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
So if we're ready to go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Tonight we're so excited because this month of January, we are talking about the topic of rejuvenating hope. Rejuvenating hope. The year has ended of 2016. We are marching strong into 2017. And our foundational text is something that's very powerful as we understand that the best, come on somebody, is yet to come as we look at rejuvenating hope. Last week, which was our first lesson for the month of January, we talked about God being sovereign and in control and how in the book of Isaiah, the 14th through the 17th verses, God talked about looking back and remembering. And before we jump into that, I'm going to stop for a minute. We talked about last lesson, which was about looking back and remembering verses 14 through 17. Tonight's lesson is about looking forward and forgetting, knowing that the best is yet to come with verse 18. And I'd like for you to write down these scriptures because we'll be reviewing them. And if you can have them already kind of ready for us as we go through them, then we might be able to finish all three texts. We're going to talk tonight about Philippians, the third chapter, the 13th through the 14th verses as well. We'll be looking at Luke 9:62, possibly Hebrews 12:1 through 2, but definitely ending it with 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. I'll repeat those. Philippians 3:13-14. Luke 9:62. Hebrews 12:1-2. And 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Before we begin, kind of want to let everybody know who are our listeners. We're so grateful to have you with us tonight, first of all. But just a little reminder, a little bit about the etiquette in the studio. One of the things that we have to remind everybody almost every week is that when we operate in the studio, try not to be on a speakerphone, because the speakerphone causes backup in the studio, and you can hear the echo, and it messes with the sound system. So if you have a phone in your own, take it off of
speakerphone,
because that interferes with the studio. Also, unless you're talking, put your phone on mute so that any of the background noise behind you, animals, friends, family in the back, or television or phone, won't be disturbing to the group. And when you get ready to talk, you have to take it off of mute, because you'll be trying to talk and we won't hear you. So make sure that you take it off mute, and we'll remind people from time to time. I even forget a lot. Also, we are here to be stretched, and there will be lots of people with different perspectives, and we want to affirm and to listen to everybody who's participating, hoping that we're all going to be able to share something from a different perspective so that people out in our radio audience can glean different thoughts. And as we do so, we'll be able to support and help one another. So with that, let's get started and get going tonight. So I want to talk
Excuse me. Yeah, this is Britt. Could you let the radio audience know how long Bible study has been going now? How many years?
How many years? We're working with this with 2017. This is what we're working on, year 12. Last year would be 11 years. This year, 2017, it'll be 12.
Amen.
So we've been doing this for a very, very long time, and we're just grateful. We started in 2005, and so this is we're very grateful for the blessings that God has bestowed on us as we have continued to do this Bible study for 12 years. And God has been good to us. And so if you'd like to participate in the Bible study, please feel free to call into the number 646-478-4932. And if you want to send an email talking about whatever topics you'd like to talk about and to encourage us to do a Bible study on some topic you're interested in, try drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. That's Dr. Susie, D-R-S-U-S-I-E, loveconnection@gmail.com. With that said, let's start with a roll call. Who do we have online with us tonight in the studio?
Paul.
So Brett, Paul, Lester just dropped off, and so did Sean. Okay. And anybody else on? There, Lester just came back.
Carver.
Yeah. Thank you, Lester. Could you text Sean? I lost her. I can't text her and let her know that I lost her off
she's
the line.
She's right here. She's right here.
Okay. Awesome. So tonight we want to get started with the idea of looking forward and forgetting. So, Dr. Nix, you have the NIV version. Would you please read
I have the New International Reader's Version. New International Reader's Version. Okay. You want Isaiah 43:14-21?
Actually, just if you would read 14 through 18.
The Lord sets his people free. He is the Holy One of Israel. He says, people of Israel, I will send an army of Babylon to Babylon to save you. I will cause all of the Babylonians to run away. They will try to escape in the ships they were so proud of. I am your Lord and King. I am your Holy One. I created you. Long ago, the Lord opened a way for his people to go through the Red Sea. He made a path through the mighty waters and caused Egypt to send out its chariots and horses. He sent its entire army to its death. Its soldiers laid down there. They never got up again. They were destroyed. They were blown out like a dimly burning flame. But the Lord says, forget the things that happened in the past. Do not keep on thinking about them. You want me to read 19?
No.
I'm about, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. So I'm about to do a new thing.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm about to do something new. It is beginning to happen, even now. Don't you see it coming? I'm going to make a way for you to go through the desert. I will make streams of water in the dry and empty land.
So the big idea of what we want to focus on is to remember that in verses 14 through 17, we find that God is assuring the children of Israel that he's going to find a way to break the power of their oppressors, talking about the Babylonians. We talked about this last week. And that God reminded them of what he did in the past with Moses and the children of Israel when he said the Lord made a way in the sea, where he was referring to the miracle that when God worked through Moses as he delivered the people through dry ground as he parted the waters and they went across dry land. So he was referring to how he allowed the children of Israel to escape from slavery in Egypt. And that's the same Lord, as the scripture talks about, that brought forth Pharaoh's chariot and horses that they might never rise again and would be extinct. So he says to them, look back and remember that. I want you to remember what happened in the past. But then he turns around and says something really ironic from what he always says. Isaiah, the person who was always telling God's people to remember what God has done. I mean, he constantly has been one of those people who admonished the people of Israel over and over, constantly calling upon Israel to remember what God has done. No other prophet that I can remember told the people so much, remember, remember, remember. But here he goes. He's turned and said, you know, he wants to do something different now. He tells them to do what? Forget all that. In verse 18, which is what we're focusing on, it is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. So I need somebody tonight to tell me, what do you think Isaiah was doing at this point? What is he saying? Brother Brett, Brother Lester, get off.
Remember,
me.
But don't forget.
Right.
I don't know.
It's okay.
I'm on sabbatical.
It's all right. It's all right, Brother Lester. It'll come out.
Well, this suggestions.
Brother Lester, go ahead and talk. I heard you saying you're on sabbatical. Ain't no retirement in God's plan. Go ahead.
You know what? I think, you know, God is basically saying, don't forget what I have done, but always look forward, because I'm always in the process of doing something greater. And when
all
you,
right now.
And the other thing you got to remember is prophecies are spoken in the past. They're things that are spoken before they happen. And God is progressively revealing what he has established since the beginning of time in the stars. The word of God is written in the stars. So, you know, we're always to be looking for greater grace and greater faith. I believe that's what he's saying.
Greater grace and greater faith. Amen, amen. Anybody else? Who else is on the line? Brother Nooks.
Yeah, I was just going to say that this could be looking forward to Jesus and a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
But God also is going to bring them out of Babylon, and they're going to see some prosperity. But he's going to do something new with them, and it was even happening. He said, can't you even see it now? So, I mean, Isaiah's prophecy is a lot about Jesus and Christ. If you look at the 53rd chapter and 61st chapter of Isaiah, I mean, they're talking about Jesus, the coming Messiah.
Amen.
So God is going to do something new to them. He's going to provide water even in the desert. And even
yeah,
in Revelation, we hear about, huh?
I said the water in the desert next week, yeah.
Oh, okay, next week. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
it's broken down in verse 19, verse 20, 21. That's all right.
Okay.
But you're right. Both of you are right, and we're talking about how, you know, God is doing a new thing, and as Lester was saying, better grace, better faith, as Dr. Nooks is saying, that which was to come is the Christ. And that's what they have to look forward to. God is doing something that will change so that God's people will always, always be taken care of. So, Brother Paul, anybody else out there who wanted to talk about this or had a comment on what you're saying? Sean, did you have a comment?
She said, no, ma'am.
All righty.
Okay, Paul. Yes. And I think that God is saying, you see, I've already done wonderful things for you. I've already done wonderful things for you. But that's nothing compared to what I'm going to do for you.
All right,
and
now.
And people are talking about, you know, the coming Jesus Christ, but he's already come once. And that's one of the other things that God did for us. He sent somebody to take care of what we couldn't take care of. And that's why he said it's already begun. Don't you see it? He said, I'm making a road through the wilderness. This is just the beginning because he's coming back again. And he said, ain't nothing going to keep y'all from me because I'm going to make a way. Just stand
Amen.
Strong. Be patient.
Amen.
I'm coming.
Amen. So as everybody is saying, is God saying that to them that so wonderful shall be God's future intervention in your behalf? That's each and every one of us when we bring the rubber meets the road and we bring the past to the present and how we can get application. That all past things shall be forgotten in comparison. Come on, somebody. In other words,
Amen.
If you thought God did something special before, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. So the issue for us is when we look back, what has God delivered us from? What are some of the things that we've done? Because he told us, first of all, to look back and remember. Then he said to forget. Forget all that. So when we forget, what things are we supposed to forget? What are we supposed to be forgetting? You know, even Paul, we have to look at who Paul was, right? This is a man who was religious
okay.
before he was saved, right? He was a man who had to lose his religion in order to find eternal life. This is a person that had all the training in the world. And Jewish religion meant life and death to this man. So here he is. He was so sincere that he was even persecuted. And he persecuted people who were different from him. So we got to remember one thing, that it's one thing to be religious enough to get into church, to go to church. But it's another to be righteous enough to get into heaven. So as God is teaching us about the things that we need to know, salvation, as we understand it, because everybody's saying this is pointing us to Christ, salvation is not knowing about Christ. It is knowing Christ. It's not enough to know about him, but we got to know him. And so we got
Amen.
Paul here saying that, you know, we got to run our race. And he gives us an example, just like an Olympic runner, right?
Yeah, we're still in Isaiah. We haven't gotten to. We're still in Isaiah here.
Okay. Okay, but what I'm. Okay, we're still in Isaiah. I thought I said something about Paul. I'm sorry. So the next step for us is to look. I thought I'd already read the scripture. Can we go to Philippians, the third chapter?
Before you go there, before you go there.
Yeah.
Let me say something about Isaiah 43. The way I look at it is that he is saying that you have to remember that your Lord, who did all these things, and then he goes on to name it, okay, and how he snuffed out the Egyptians to keep them safe. He's telling them all this because he's trying to get them to look at the Lord thy God. And then I believe he's testing them, too, to see where their faith is, because in 19, he says, see, I am doing new things. Now, it springs up. Do you not perceive it? They can't see. He's trying to find out where their faith lies. If they have faith, they should be able to see what's getting ready to come. That was it.
All right, now. Bring that on back next week. That's what we're focusing on next week. So I'm sorry, y'all. I thought I had read Philippians 3, turn to Philippians 3, 13 through 14, the scripture I gave you earlier. And it says, as I'm reading it to you, Philippians 3, 13 through 14. James, do you have that? Philippians 3.
Yes, I do.
Would you
I
read
have
that?
The New International Reader's Version. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I have taken hold of it yet. But here is the one thing I do. I forget what is behind me. I push hard toward what is ahead of me. I move on toward the goal to win the prize. God has appointed me to win it. The heavenly prize is Christ Jesus himself.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody has another version? I've got the New Living Translation that says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. And as I was trying to say earlier, Paul was this person that had this knowledge, yet he was a person who himself had said, I haven't obtained it all. You know, I'm a person, he's a person, you know, like I said, he was religious before he was saved. He's a person that had a reputation of being this awesome rabbi. He was this person that had persecuted others who were different from him. But like I said to you, even in church today, we got to understand that salvation is knowing, is not knowing about Christ, but knowing who Christ is for ourselves. It's not enough that mama can pray for you, grandma can pray for you. You know, we have to know it for ourselves, and just going to church ain't enough. Going to church and just being there, you have to have that personal relationship with the Lord through your own personal struggles, your own personal trials, reading the scripture, knowing him through the word, and from that is where you get your strength. And so here we are when he's talking about pressing forward. Now, he gives us an example of an Olympic runner, right? Because we know the Greeks used to run races, and as they ran, the idea is the Olympic runner had to be a citizen of the nation that they represented, but they also had to be free men. They couldn't be slaves, because the unsaved sinner is the slave in this context. And in our context, the Christian is a citizen of what? Who are we citizens of? Of heaven, and we're set free by whom?
Christ.
Who sets us free? Christ. Amen. So, like the Olympic runner, they had to be a citizen of Greece, and they had to be free. And it's the same way for us. We are free. We're not slaves to sin. We are Christians and citizens of heaven because we've been set free by Christ. And so Paul goes on to say, how do we reach the goal that God has set for us? Well, he says, what do we need to do? He says, not that I've already attained it. But guess what? You and I have to do the same thing. We have to reflect. We have to wonder. We got to ask questions of ourselves. Nobody's got to throw it at us or beat us up with it. But we have to ask ourselves, honestly, where are we? Where are we in our Christian walk? Where are we in our Christian journey? And Paul even said, a mature person said, hey, I haven't already attained it, which means that you and I, we're not perfect either. And we have to keep our eyes of faith on Christ. And then Paul goes on to say it again, forgetting the past. What's he talking about when he says forget the past? Anybody? What is he talking about when he says forget the past? Paul,
our mistakes.
And what else? Is anybody else?
Our mess-ups, our sin, our the things that keep us back from running the race. Anything that
absolutely
holds us back.
But not only do we have to forget our past sins, failures, mistakes, but we got to forget the past successes because we will get the big head. What we need to understand right now is that God's power, we got to press on in God's power, not in our power, not in our success, not in our sins, not in our failure, but God's power. Because Christian life is not a game. This is a race that demands the very best of each of us. And we can't live these divided lives. We got to be sincere and committed. We got to be pressing on towards the calling, the high calling, which is what? What is the high calling we're pressing for? Anybody?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Anybody got any comments on that? Any extra things we can add to that? Come on, Brother Lester. I know you got something to say.
Well, you know what? There's here's an illustration of that pressing forward. I saw this video of these runners, and it was three women runners. And these two women runners were running together. They had a real good pace. They were ahead of everybody else. And they were just taking their stride because they were right at the finish line, seconds before the finish line. And there was this one girl just behind them. And she pushed at the very end, ended up beating the two who just knew they had it seconds before they crossed the finish line. It almost seemed like the two that were there were going to cross together and they knew it. But they didn't cross first because the girl just behind them pushed right at the end. And she prevailed, and it's an awesome video because you see the difference between thinking you have it, getting comfortable, and someone who sees the ability to win when it looks like others are clearly ahead of you. And yet that push is the difference between winning and not winning because you're talking about seconds. And that is often the difference between, you know, success and failure. And God is saying, it doesn't matter what it looks like. I want you to push and believe I've given you this thing.
Hey, Lester, found this translation.
It's also the same time we're all tempted to quit is at the end because of fatigue and pain.
The fatigue. Absolutely. I just found this translation that says this, Lester. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. That just fits right with what you just gave an example of. Straining.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. Anybody else?
From this is Paul is saying, you know, y'all look at me now and y'all think I'm this. And people look at us sometimes and they say, well, you go to church all the time and he does this and he does that and he prays. And then Paul goes on to say, but forget those things. Don't get complacent. Don't stop there. Keep going because there's more to be gained in Christ Jesus. And a lot of us, me included, we get complacent. We get the big head sometimes, like you said, and we just get stuck. But God don't want us to be stuck. He wants us to press on. Just like you said, I strain to reach the end of the race. The race is not over. We're not there yet. Sometimes
Amen.
We do quit.
Yeah, and this is James, and for many people, and I agree with what my brother said there, but for many, many people don't feel like they're good enough. They don't feel like they should even be in the race. And to me, this is what this is saying, is I forget what is behind me, because feelings of insecurity, of not feeling like you're good enough, not feeling like you're too sinful. You just messed up too much, and that holds you back from running the race. And Jesus has died for us. The sins are forgiven for those that believe, and yet we hold on to them. We hold on to them tight, and we won't let them go. And Paul is saying here, let go. Let it go so you can run the race. You've been forgiven. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. I wish so many of us could believe that our sins have been forgiven, that we're new creatures, that we should not be holding on to all the mistakes we made in the past, carrying all that baggage along with us. We need to let it go and run the race like a runner. Get rid of some of that old stuff.
Amen. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or what you've done. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. It don't even matter how good you were in the past, because we're not doing this race in our own strength. This is about what God is going to do. This is about how God is going to bless us with anything. Ephesians says exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask for or imagine. Amen. 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 Brother Brett, did you have something about that you wanted to lift up?
Well, I think I used an analogy of what was just said when I talk with people, because I deal with relationships. And one of my pet things that I tell people, why are you holding on to something that's dead? That's dead weight. You can't be the best you until you let go of that. And I think that's what Paul's saying here. You got to forget about everything in the past. We don't care how far you didn't come, whether you won that race, you didn't, you're starting over again. Now you got to run this race. And you can't do it if you're holding on to things in the past. That sort of reminds me of Lot's wife, when she couldn't let go and she had to look back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. We don't get turned into pillars of salt, but a lot of us want to say we want to move forward, but we don't move forward because we still want to hang on to
that
doing
old stuff.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just one more time. I got to do this. You know, you can't do that. You got to let it go. And some people miss their salvation because they can't let go of the things in the past.
And that's really good, Brother Brett. And also reminding us that we can't think that once we've got to a certain place that we can just say we're done. We can't just say we've arrived, because God
Amen.
Has more spiritual heights for us to climb. We can't ever think that we've got to some place, the spiritual plateau, and we've arrived. We've got to climb beyond that. God wants us to continue to strain to be even better, understanding that we do this through Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let me see. I got other people in the thing tonight. We got quite a few people on the line tonight. So let me ask this question. Can we turn somebody pull up Luke 9:62? And or actually pull up Hebrews 12:1-2, and I'll read Luke 9:62. Or unless somebody else already has it, because I don't want to read them all if somebody already has it. I'll read it then. Luke 9:62 says, Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Well, now, hello, somebody. What is God saying now? Luke 9:62. Does anybody have a different version? Says something different?
This is Paul.
Go ahead.
Mine says, but Jesus told him, anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God.
Well, come on, somebody. Anybody have something different? It's short enough that we can get several translations in here. Dr. Nooks, did you have something?
Jesus replies, suppose you start to plow and then look back. If you do, you are not fit for service in God's kingdom.
You had something different, Brett?
No, I had the same thing.
Okay. Does anyone else have a different version? I've got the message here I'm going to read. It says, Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. So what is all this?
Amen.
You know, we've read these translations. What are we hearing? What are we hearing from this?
Don't be distracted from the work. Continue ahead.
We
got to
keep pressing on. Move ahead.
Press on.
Move ahead. Press on. Press on. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 12.
And we go through so many.
Go ahead.
And we go through so many distractions, though. Just James, we get distracted so easily and so often. So we need to remind ourselves and remind each other to keep pushing forward, not get distracted. I mean, all kind of things can distract us.
I want to say this, and, you know, to remind us what, I don't want to take it out of context. Luke 9:62 was about Elisha. And Elisha was, Elijah had allowed Elisha to do this very thing, and Elisha was plowing. And Jesus' words underscored the fact that his message of the kingdom of God was more important than anything else, even family members. The message in the Messiah can't wait. Jesus' message is more important than Elijah's message and demands total allegiance. So we can't have divided interest here. We got to be like the farmer who begins to plow. And when we, you know, we got to make up his mind. We got to make up our mind. We can't, you know, go back and forth. And I think sometimes people waver about what they need to do. Well, the man, the Jesus, when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, this man had to make up his mind right then and there as to what he was going to do. And you and I oftentimes come to a point in our lives when we encounter different things. And God is saying to us, even today, as we talk about reflecting, we have to make up our minds right now, not tomorrow, not the next day, right now. What are we going to do? Who are we going to serve? How are we going to act? We're not going to go back. We're not going to look at the past. We're not going to operate in the past. We're not going to carry the things of the past. We're not going to engage in things of the past. We're not going to even worry about the positive, the negative. We want to go forward with Christ, believing that God has better things, greater things ahead. Amen.
Amen.
And so with that, we want to look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Can I get somebody to read Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 that's already got it figured out, got it already picked out? Hebrews 12, 1 through 2.
I have it, but somebody else may want to read. I've got it. It's James.
I'm sure somebody else was listening when I asked y'all to get it before. Who's got it? You got it, Brett? Lester? Sean? Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. What you got? Well, I'll read it. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 from the Message says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. So when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your soul.
I think you started with the second verse.
I did.
First, yeah.
I went through the third.
Yeah.
So,
one and two.
Anybody else have Hebrews 1 through 2?
I haven't. This is James.
Well, I'm sorry, James, you're right. The little bit that I missed says, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fats, no parasitic sins. Keep your eye on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Go ahead. I know it was funny to me. I had to throw that in there. Go ahead.
A huge cloud of witnesses is all around us, so let us throw off everything that stands in our way. Let us throw off any sin that holds on to us so tightly. Let us keep on running the race marked out for us. Let us keep looking to Jesus. He's the author of faith. He also makes it perfect. He paid no attention to the shame of the cross. He suffered there because of the joy he was looking forward to. Then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
Okay. This is one of Lester's favorite scriptures. Come on, Brother Lester, break it down.
Does it not speak for itself? Does it not?
Well, we got listening
Amen.
To it, new in the face. Go ahead,
it,
break it down,
Amen.
Bro.
Amen. Amen.
So who else is going to speak to that scripture?
I think what he's saying to me is there's going to be a lot of things in your way. There's been a lot of things in my way getting to where I am. But he said if I keep my eye on him, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get
Amen.
There. Got to strive for the prize. And don't let none of those
Amen.
Things hold me back. Toss them out the way. You know, like a football player playing on that line, a guard or a tackle. You just got to move things around. Look for the
Amen.
Goal line.
I love it.
You'll get there.
All right.
I love it. I love it.
This is James.
Anybody else?
I like,
go ahead, James.
I like where it says, he paid no attention to the shame of the cross. He suffered
yeah.
there because of the joy he was looking forward to. So shame is something that is a really controls us and holds us back. We're afraid of looking bad, looking like, you know, we messed up. And Jesus here mm. said he didn't allow the shame of the cross to hold him back. And whatever embarrassment we might think we're going through, still keep our eyes stayed on Jesus. I remember preaching on the street corners and people would come by and shout things out, you know, trying to embarrass those of us that were there trying to spread the gospel. But there's no shame because you're looking forward to what you're going to be doing and the joy that you get in Christ Jesus and in serving God. But that's really struck me that Jesus paid no attention to the shame of the cross. And I've read this many times, and that just struck me this time, that we should not allow shame to hold us back.
You know, Brother Nooks, it made me remember I was serving a church where a woman tried to make me think that she said, so what do you want us, we were talking about evangelism, and obviously she didn't believe in it. She said, so what do you want us to do, hand out Bibles and tracts, scriptures? And I'm like, if the need fits, yeah. You know, if we need to stand and talk about Jesus on the corner, on the byway, on the highway, wherever God sends us, whatever the situation allows for us to share the good news, we don't have to not, I mean, that's a part of who we are. We're not supposed to be ashamed. We're not supposed to be ashamed. Amen. So let's go to, as we're closing up, Hebrews. What's the last scripture we just did?
We did Hebrews last. First Corinthians is left.
1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 as we close. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. First Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Who's got it? First Corinthians 9, 24, 27. Who's got it? Well, if nobody's got it, I'll read it. If
I've
you don't have it.
I've got it.
Okay, go ahead. What are you reading from?
The New Living Bible. You said
the
New Living Bible. You said 24 to what?
27.
In a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to. Otherwise, I fear that after enlisting others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside. Amen.
Amen. I want to read from the message. It says, James, if you have another one, would you get it? It says, I'm reading from the message. It says, you've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. One wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. You got another one, James?
Yes, yeah, similar to what both of you read. It said this, in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. You know that, don't you? So run in a way that will get you the prize. All who take part in the games train hard. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So I do not run like someone who doesn't run toward the finish line. I do not fight like a boxer who hits nothing but air. No, I train my body and bring it under control. Then after I have preached to others, I myself will not break the rules that fail to win the prize.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Brother Paul, would you like to start with explaining that, and then we can all pitch in? What did you get out of it? What jumped out at you, Paul?
We all run in this race, and we all want to win. But in order to win, we got to do what it takes for us as individuals. I mean, as a whole, we help each other. Still got to win it ourselves. But we can't win it without the coach. And in order to train your body, you got to have a coach. If you ain't got no good training, you ain't going nowhere. Jesus is a coach. If we follow him, we're going to win this race.
Amen.
Man.
Anybody else? Britt?
Okay.
What jumped out at you about that scripture?
Well, the thing about it is that we've been talking about running races and stuff. And since the Olympics was just this past summer, when we watched the Fabulous Five girls gymnastic team.
Mm-hmm.
And they went into the stories about how hard each one trained. That's what we're being told here. We've got to train ourselves to be the best competitor that we can be. And in so doing, when we're in the race with others, we are running, and the prize is not just going to be a ribbon with a gold medal around it. It's going to be eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're running for. This is the race that we're in. This is why some people are just starting to run. Some of us have been running for a while, like a marathon. But everybody's at a certain point in their training that eventually you're going to get that prize. It's just going to take you a little bit longer because it depends on where you walk is in your faith. That is your training. That is what's going to make you run faster. That's what's going to give you that last minute push. As I heard someone say earlier, you know, you've been trailing behind other people, but hey, when they get so close to the prize, they just make that lunge at that last minute and they beat out the other person. The thing in this, none of us lose. Long as we keep our eye on that prize, long as we do what God is asking us to do, okay, then we will not be disqualified for the lack of not training. But you've got to stay
right
in the Word. That's part of our training. That's why we do Bible study. That's why we go to church. That's why we go to midweek service. That's why we testify. That's why when we see people that are struggling, or if somebody comes to you and asks you a question about something, and you sit down and you tell them, you got that training. You are helping them to get where they need to be too. And that's all this is saying. We are in a race. We're training ourselves to be a better competitor. But in the end, we're all going to cross that finish line. And when we do, then we don't have to worry about anything else.
All right. We have to follow God's training, God's word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Nooks, Dr. Nooks.
Yeah, I was just going to say that everybody's not running the same race. If you
Why,
see
we're
that
running
here,
individual races.
That, well, some people are running for a crown or a ribbon, then other people are running for a crown that will last forever. So people are trying to get ahead and win a race. Our race is not the same race as somebody that's not a part of Christ.
In the world.
So
it's in the world. Mm-hmm.
So people in the world are trying to get a crown or a blue ribbon. We're running a race for eternity. You know, and we're saved, but we're still working on our salvation. We're trying to grow and get better, and we're going to be with Christ forever and God forever. But we're running different races, and you know, I'm not competing in the same way with somebody that's trying to get a gold ribbon. I'm running the race, trying to keep my eye on Christ to do what Christ would have me to do for eternity, not for some money, some position, and sometimes we even get mixed up and we bring that junk into the church and we're running to be the pastor, the deacon, to sing the song, I mean, have our own
seat,
all these kind of crazy things that come in when we're supposed to be running the race for eternity and trying to do what Christ would have us to do. So,
we
yeah,
come bring in CEO methodologies, Brother Nix. Like you're talking about the world methodology.
Right.
Amen.
So we, instead of using and understanding that this is God's program and God's race and doing it God's way, under God's training.
Amen.
Not that of the world. Amen. Brother Lester, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
You know, there is another way to look at this. And, you know, as it speaks in this passage of us conditioning our body and treating it roughly so that it can be prepared to run the race, we have to stay focused on the prize, which is the one body of Christ. And just as individually we might condition our individual body, believe that Jesus Christ as the head of the body is conditioning his one body of Christ so that we can be presented to God as that perfect, complete work where we are unified in love and in being focused on that knowledge of him as the Son of God and that unity of the Spirit. So when we see the body of Christ all chopped up in a bunch of different denominations and cliques and sects and all that nonsense, we have to stay focused on the fact that this is one body with one head, Jesus Christ, and our reward is that we are going to be a part of that presentation to God of one complete unified body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Amen.
This is Dr. Susie. I just wanted to say one thing as we close with that. And Lester, if you would close us in prayer tonight. But I just wanted to say one thing regarding this is that, you know, discipline is really hard. It's hard for us when we first start to wake up in the morning and have quiet time and devotion. Unless we are intentional, unless we put the time aside. We got to get up early. We got to get started early. This is a new year. So get up. Set your alarm clocks. Get prepared for the day. Sit down with your Bible. Sit down with your song, whatever you need to lead yourself in devotion to get excited and built up and in relationship with God so that the Word can speak to you. And then sit and read and talk to God. Let God and listen to what God is saying as that Word penetrates your life and gives you the tools to discipline your life with, to begin to prepare you, the strict training. So everybody online tonight, I challenge you, all of my radio audience out there, I challenge you to this strict training that every morning before you go to work, that you get up early enough to start doing quiet time with your Bible. You get up early enough to talk to God about what God wants for you before you begin your day. Lord, send me to the right person so that I can share who you are. Lord, help me to be a light unto somebody so that I manifest you in what I do, no matter what that is. Lord, be with me and open my mouth and close my mouth when I need to. Lead God and direct my path so that I can be your vessel this day and do that every day. Strict training. Strict training. Strict training. And that means that you got to give up something. Yes, it does. You can't be drinking pop. Not on this journey, not if you're going to run the race, because that's going to slow you down. You can't be doing drugs and alcohol. You got to let that go because it's going to hinder you where you got to go on the race. You can't, but you have to focus on those things that would empower you to be effective in your run for Christ. Anything else, you got to lay it aside. Drugs, alcohol, eating too much, not exercising. Exercise your body. Get up and do what it takes to be fit and able to endure on the race. Do those things which build you up and strengthen you. Read your word, study your word, live a clean life, eat the right foods. Come on, somebody, put down them potato chips and empty calories. Start eating good food, vegetables and fruit and things that will nourish you so that you can be the temple of God that God calls you to be. Strict training. Put it aside if it's not beneficial. And talk to God about it. God is your trainer. So, as we close tonight, I just want to say this one last thing. Is that is, as we understand what God has for us, we got to remember that if you thought God did something special before in your life, because he said, do what? He said, do what? Look forward and forget. What God is going to do for you today forward is going to surpass everything that God has done for you in the past. If you thought God did something before for you before, look out. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come. Can I hear everybody say the best is yet to come?
The best is yet to come.
Just come.
The best is yet to come.
Amen. So as we close tonight, I ask that the radio audience that you would hear our plea tonight, and any questions you might have, that you would submit those. Brother Lester, if you would lead us in prayer, if you would please put the phone on mute for those of you who got a radio in the background. But as we pray, please, that you would lift up President Obama, that you would lift up the church, that you would lift up the homeless right now, that you would lift up our vets who are struggling, that you would lift up the people on the line tonight, those who were here and those who weren't able to come. I specifically am asking for leadership in a vocation where God wants me to go, a ministry to serve in whatever capacity God has sent us. Is there any other request on the line tonight that we need to lift up in prayer? For the bread, we want to thank God for your help.
No, I'm fine. Thank you. Matter
anybody
of fact, I go tomorrow for the post op.
Okay. Amen for that. Anybody else need to offer up a prayer request or praise report? I know somebody got a reason to praise the Lord for something. Amen. Well, I just want to thank him because I woke up this morning. And I got a roof over my head, I got food to eat, and I have a present job to go to. And I'm just thanking God for the things I can see, I can walk, and I can talk. So I'm grateful for the things that people take for granted. And I know God is good, and I'm looking for the best that is coming. Well, we do not receive it. God is doing something. Amen. Brother Lester, can you close us when you're able?
Don't forget to pray for the Obamas.
Right. You have to get off mute, Lester. Lester, can you hear me? Okay, so he may be gone. Like maybe he dropped off the line. No, he's right there. Hold on a second. He's trying to get back
in.
Can
you hear me?
Okay.
Can
we
hear
you now.
Okay.
We hear you now.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There is no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for you being glorified in all that we do. We thank you for the homeless. We thank you for the vets. We thank you for each and every person on this line tonight, God. We thank you for Dr. Susie. Thank you for her future positions. Thank you for you blessing her current position, God. Father, we thank you for blessing Shawnette, God, in her search for employment, God. Father, we thank you for bringing her to the correct opportunity. Father, we thank you for you blessing Brett in the post-op report, God. Father, we thank you for all of those things that are happening. Father, we thank you for your hedge of protection around each and every one of us. We thank you for you touching Mark Bryant's body today and allowing his stomach to be at ease. Father, we thank you for the doctor's report on Thursday going well. Father, we thank you for your hedge of protection around each and every one of our businesses and our jobs. Father, allow the clients, the new clients to come our way. Father, allow the old clients to follow through with their commitments. God, allow us to prosper in all that we do, God, but show us a body of Christ that presents itself in love to each and every person that we come in contact with, God. Allow the world to see your power in your hand and your grace and your mercy through us. Allow us to be real in what we do, God. And allow us to humbly submit to your authority so that you can lift us up to levels that we are not even aware exist. Father, we thank you for this right now, and we thank you for the Obamas. We thank you for their faithful service over the past 8 years. We thank you for your hedge of protection over this country. Father, we thank you for the future leadership in this country, God, and for you blessing the new family moving into the place of power, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing grace and mercy and humility to cover all of the leadership in this country, God, and allow everyone to see a path forward that is better than what we've ever seen. God, I thank you for your hand being present in all that we do. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Thank you for joining Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Next week's lesson, look out and behold, God wants to do a new thing in your life.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.